Let me just open in prayer. Lord, thank you. As we come to gather, we gather in your presence. And your presence is special to us, important to us. Most important thing about us is your presence in our life. And we just ask that you would shine in us, that you would shine on us, you would shine through us. Holy Spirit, this is hallowed ground for you to work in our lives. As we open your word, we come with hearts that are ready to grow, to be challenged, to be changed, to be filled, to be encouraged, every one of us. And our desire is to leave different every time, because we know our world desperately needs to see you. So we just make ourselves available to you this morning. We open up our hearts and our hands, and we desire to be vessels of honor, useful to the Master for every good work that you have for us. In Jesus' name, if you agree with that prayer, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. So this is part three of Ready to Receive Power, Power to Witness part two. So that's a handful, don't worry about all that. But we're still continuing talking about the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Last week we talked about how the Holy Spirit is with us, bringing conviction, bringing people to, drawing people to Jesus. And the Holy Spirit is in us, transforming us into the image of Christ, giving us the strength and the power we need to see the flesh be defeated in our life and begin to live the way who we are in Christ, live out this new identity. And then we were talking about how the Holy Spirit has been promised to come upon us, to give us power to witness. And that is a very real promise. It comes out of several passages, but the classic for us has been Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Jesus said, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And the context again for the book of Acts is we talk about this power coming upon our lives. Like, God, this life is called to be a witness. The power of God, as you see and read the book of Acts, comes upon the disciples as they go. There's this context where they're going. They are stepping out as the witnesses of Jesus into everyday life, into everyday society, everywhere they go, and beyond their city walls, into the next areas as God sends them into new territories. And the gospel literally goes from Jerusalem to Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth as it goes with them. And this is a promise. He said this, "Listen, you're going to need some power, because there's no way you're going to be my witnesses in this world and do what I've done, not just in Jerusalem, but to the ends of the earth on your own. I can't do it on my own. I actually believe that." Does anybody else believe that? That I need what I don't have. And we said how this power coming upon us is power that comes from without, not from within. I can't trump it up. I can't get myself excited to be powerful. It's power that he has promised to you, but it's power that has to come upon you. And that is the availability of the Holy Spirit every day. Supernatural power, though, this is what we need to know, is not an end in itself. Like, I want to be powerful for Jesus. I want to see miracles and signs and wonders and the dead raised and the blind eyes opened. And who doesn't want that? Are you with me? Who doesn't want that? But power is not the point. The power that's coming is so that we could be a witness. Our witness is the point. Our witness of Jesus. And if we can keep our eye on that, that is the point. That my life is a living witness. You know, all through the book of Acts, if you read it, you will find the disciples time and time and time again standing before some form of tribunal, some sort of court. Whether it's the Supreme Court of Israel, as they're, you know, right away standing before the Senate and the Supreme Court together, gathered there, or they're standing before a proconsul in some province somewhere in Macedonia or wherever else. The disciples are constantly standing before some sort of court, some sort of king, some sort of judge, some sort of ruler, and they're giving a witness or an account of their faith in Jesus. This is what he's empowered us for, because our lives actually are supposed to be living like we're on trial. Like, people are watching and they're looking at our lives going, who is this Jesus guy? And are you a credible witness or not? Who is this Jesus? And what has he done for you? And we are literally living as if our lives are on trial. Now, I don't know if you saw that about your life before, if you thought that about your life, but that's the idea of being a witness. Witness in the Greek is the word martyr. If you, in case you wondered what he's saying here, you're going to be my martyrs in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. Now, martyr doesn't, to us, it means you died for your witness, but it just means a witness. Now, the reason they became martyrs for their witness is because they weren't willing to give up their witness. See, what would happen is as they began to talk about Jesus and signs and wonders would happen, and they loved one another, and people noticed that they give to each other, they care for each other in ways that our culture doesn't do it. They live so differently. People noticed and started asking, what is this all about? Or what are you all about? Or how was this power done? How was this person healed? And they said, it's Jesus Christ who did it. And this is what he's done in my life. As Paul stood before his defense. And listen, I was a persecutor of the church. That's my story. I was chasing them down. I was executing. I was putting them in prison. And then Jesus showed up, talked to me, knocked me off my donkey. And this is where I'm at today, and I still proclaim Christ. He was a witness. In every place that they were witnesses, they were on trial, and they became, many of them, martyrs in our language because they were unwilling to denounce their witness of Jesus. Hebrews chapter 11 tells us that so many, too many to be named, who were witnesses of Jesus, refused to be released from their imprisonment, from their situations, because they were unwilling to give up their witness for Jesus. Our lives are on trial every day, everywhere we go. Families, family members, friends, neighbors, everywhere we go, they're looking at us, and we ought to be understanding that our goal is a witness of Jesus that is credible. Now, as you think about being a witness that's been called to the stand, you think about the picture. You've got a lot of TV shows about courtrooms and how that goes. Every witness that's called to the stand is called to verify the facts in a certain case. Whether you're called to be a witness for the defense or called to be a witness for the prosecution, you're a witness called to the stand. You're there to verify the facts of something. We're called to verify the facts of the case of Jesus. That's our call. Who he is, what he's done, what he's all about. But you're called to verify the accounts of something. And the opposite side will do everything they can to do what? To invalidate your testimony. That's the goal. So the goal, if you're there as a witness for the defense, the prosecution wants to do everything they can to invalidate your witness, or vice versa, everything they can to invalidate your witness. And so what we're going to look at today, remember this, by the way, our witness of Jesus consists in how much of him they see in us. That's our witness. How much of him they see in us. But as we look today, we're going to be mostly in John chapter 9. We get to read a story of a miraculous healing that Jesus does, and the witness of that healing sharing, this is what he did. This is what I know. This is where I'm at. I just want you to know your simple witness is powerful. But three things that you need, every one of us will be challenged in or will be required of to be a credible, effective witness. They're going to challenge the character of our witness. Does my character hold up? They're going to challenge the content of my witness. Does what I have to say actually matter? And third, they're going to challenge the confidence of your witness. Do you really believe this? Are you really, really willing to stake your life on it? Are you really sure that it's worth losing friends over? Are you really sure that you're going to take this stand and keep this witness if cancel culture is going to cancel you from all your social groups? Are you willing? How much, how confident are you that this really is the witness you want to bring? And that's where we're going to look today. So I want to talk first about character. Character. We're going to pick it up in John chapter 9, verse 14 in a minute. I'll give you a little background before we read it, but I want to talk about character. The first thing on trial for the witness is your character. That's the first thing. If the opposing side can destroy the reputation of the witness themselves, then the rest of their testimony can be discredited at worst or tainted at best. Who is it that's making these claims? It is so important that we realize people really do. If we want to be a witness for Jesus, they do really care more about how much you love them than what you have to say to them. They care really a lot more about how we treat people in the workplace than what we have to say about what happened at church on Sunday. Like, our character is the first step of our witness. Now, here's what you need to know. The promise of power to be a witness is even about our character. The Holy Spirit has come to empower even our character to look like Jesus. In John chapter 9, the disciples see a man born blind. And he's sitting there and they say, "Jesus, who sinned? This guy or his parents that he was born blind?" And Jesus says, "Neither." This actually wasn't an issue of sin. It's that the works of God might be displayed in his life. Now, this man has been blind a very long time. He'd probably long past given up on the opportunity to see. He never knew what seeing was like. And here the question is, why did bad things happen to him? Why is this circumstance a situation in his life? Who blew it? Who sinned? Because that was the Jewish belief. If something happened to you in birth or whatever else, that there is something wrong with you. And Jesus said, "Neither." And not only did he say so that the works of God might be seen in his life, he says, "Continue to do the works of God while there is light to do them. While I'm in the world, I am the light of the world." And by the way, after he left, he said, "You now will be the light of the world." You are. We're called to do the works of God. So this is the scene. This is the situation. So Jesus makes some mud, spits on him on the dirt, sticks it on his eyes, tells him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam." He goes and he washes in the pool of Siloam and he receives his sight. And there's quite a stir going on because people who know him are saying, "Is this the guy?" And he's saying, "I'm the guy." And they're like, "He's not the guy." He's like, "I'm the guy." And it says he's insisting that he's the guy because his whole life he's been blind. And now he sees, and nobody has a context for that. And so it was a Sabbath day, verse 14, when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. So the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the day, who have a problem with people doing things on the Sabbath. Let me just say it that simple. You made a little bit of mud, that's not okay. So they were living by this code of religion for all the reasons I don't have time to get into them, but they were living by this, and Jesus didn't follow their code of religion. And he made the mud, the guys saw. So they asked him again how he had received his sight. And he said to them, "He put mud on my eyes, and I washed, and I see." He is a witness to all of this. Some of the Pharisees said to him, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner do such signs?" And there was division among them. The first place they wanted to go was to discredit the testimony of this blind man. First, they didn't even believe him. Couldn't be. And then they wanted to discredit Jesus couldn't have done it, because he did something on the Sabbath and he must be a sinner because he's not following the rules the way we all follow the rules. And they're trying to discredit the witness. They're trying to discredit the story. Here's the thing. Our character is always on trial and God wants to work in us before he can work through us. That is priority number one. God wants his love to shine in me much more than he wants me to go around seeing people raised, healed, whatever else. He cares that my witness will hold up to the scrutiny. Question is, are you allowing the Holy Spirit to work in you right now? Because his priority one is that you would live like Jesus, that you would talk and act and look like Jesus. And if we're going to participate in the big signs and wonders, we need to also participate in the inside wonders and works. Amen? Let him transform our character. The character of our witness is best seen in the day-to-day interactions we have with people, in our reactions and responses to life. There's been a lot of character witnessing going on online. I know I go here often, but here's what you've got to understand. The world that does not understand who Jesus is and who the church is learning who we are by what we post and what we say and how we act. And if we act like a bunch of angry knuckleheads who are mad and hateful and spiteful, who are fearful and feel like our lives are out of control and everybody's trying to get us, and oh my gosh, and we spew all of that out there online, what kind of character does that display to anybody about who Jesus is to you? Well, Jesus must be wimpy. He must be terrified that we would do such a thing, that this law might be passed. He must be afraid. He must feel insecure because all of these people do. Come on, people. The Holy Spirit should show up in our post. Are you with me? Just show up in our lives. How we handle layoffs at work. How we handle situations at work, at school. How we treat the person sitting by themselves at lunch. How we join in or don't join in on ripping on somebody when other people are. This is our character. And that's what's on trial first. And so someone will look there first and go, you know what? They're like everybody else. I really don't care what they have to say about Jesus. There's no difference in their life. And so this is where the Holy Spirit wants to start for every one of us. I remember it was just a couple weeks ago, I was having a moment. I was a little stressed out at work, and I said some things that were negative in private, not in private, to someone on the team. They were negative. I was emoting, and I was emoting my frustration in an unhealthy way. And I said it, and then I let it go, and we moved on, and that person was gracious with me. But I felt the Holy Spirit say, no, that's just not who you want to be. Even if they love you anyways, that's not the point. That's just not me, though. That's not me. So I had to call them. I said, thanks for listening to me. I'm sorry you had to take all that, because that wasn't a healthy way for me to handle that moment. They're like, no problem, it's fine, da, 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 da. But I thought, it's not okay for me. I'm not all right with that, because that's not the Holy Spirit in me. That's just the Ryan in me. I'd rather Jesus. Amen? And then the content. If the character of a witness can stand the scrutiny, then the next thing is the content of their testimony. What is it that you have to say? Well, they call him back a second time. It says in verse 24, they called the man who had been blind, and they said to him, give glory to God. We know this man is a sinner. Talking about Jesus. And he answered, whether he's a sinner, I don't know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see. Though I was blind, now I see. All of you don't receive Jesus as who he says he is, because he doesn't do things the way you think he should do things. Okay, that's on you. But here's my testimony. I was blind, now I see. This much I know. This circumstance in my life, it was a raw deal. It was hard. For all my life, I've been blind. So many things I didn't know. So much of my life feels like it was wasted time sitting there begging because I couldn't do anything else with my life. But here's what I know. I was blind and I see, and I can testify that Jesus was the one who did that in my life. The content of what he had to say was pretty compelling. Now imagine you're a witness. You're called, there was a bank robbery, and you happen to be in the bank. And they call you to the stand, and they say, so-and-so, were you in the bank that day? Yes, I was. The day that it was robbed by all these people, I was in the bank that day. Well, let's hear your testimony. Well, I don't have very much to say. I was in the bathroom the whole time. When I came out, it was over. Next. That's a cruddy witness. It was true, but there was no meat to the testimony. Listen, like this blind man, sometimes the greatest content of your testimony comes in the hard stuff you have to deal with in life. Sometimes it's in the big miracle moments. Praise the Lord for those. I was blind, now I see. I had a fractured skull in my right, and the Lord healed me miraculously overnight. That's a story. It's my testimony, something I got. You got a story like that. They're great. They're the big ones. It's really cool how the Lord provided. It's a miraculous way. Those are stories. They're part of my testimony. And when the time is right for those testimonies, those are the ones I go to. Some of you have testimonies of Jesus meeting you in the darkness, meeting you in the closet, meeting you when you were at wit's end, ready to end your life. Jesus meeting you when you didn't think you could keep going. Jesus meeting you when you were so disappointed and discouraged and you thought, he never meets me where I need him to meet me. And he meets you anyways in a totally different way, but not the way you wanted him to. But you've got a testimony of, I just hung in there and I just kept walking with the Lord anyways. And now all of a sudden, here's what I have to say about what I thought was unthinkable and unbelievable. And God gave me the strength to do what I didn't think I could ever do to get through that season. And the power of your testimony, the content. Sometimes we think it's only the big good things that we have to say, but it's not. It's how God meets you, because those who are watching your life, sometimes they need to know that God meets you in the crappy stuff, the hard stuff, that I'm not alone in those moments, that he's with me, walking with me. And that's like, whoa, the content of your testimony. Jesus is real. Jesus can be trusted. Even in my confusion or my pain or my anger, wow, that's my testimony, the content of your witness. So don't despise right now. We'll look back on this season. We will look back on it. So once in a, who knows what it is? Who knows what this season is? But you can still learn so much as the Lord just draws you close and teaches you, I'm what you need. Let me take care of you. Let me provide. Let me heal you. Let me walk with you. Let me journey with you, grieve with you. Let me encourage you. Let me untether you from all the other hopes and dreams that weren't my hopes and dreams for you. Oh, and let me reveal how much I love you. You're never alone. Remember, our witness of Jesus consists in how much of him they see in us. And lastly, confidence. If your character and the content of your testimony are solid, then they'll move to confidence of the witness. How willing are you to stake your reputation on these claims? God can do some amazing things in our lives, and we can have some pretty cool character, like I'm sold out for Jesus. But here's what I know. In a culture like this one, increasingly, and like cultures around the world, to live your testimony and to testify to Jesus, you're gonna have to confront forces, spiritual forces that are manifest in public opinion, manifest in cancel culture, manifest in, I don't know how people will take me, receive me, whether or not I'm going to be accepted. It will manifest in all these ways, pressure. You're gonna face it. And then the confidence of your testimony is what's on. Are you really going to stand by that? What if it costs you something? What if you're not going to be friends with me anymore? What if whatever? It might cost you a promotion. It might cost you your job at work. It might cost you something. Are you still going to stand by your witness? And this is why they became martyrs, because they faced down the pressure. As the story goes on in John chapter 9, verses 18 to 23, they bring in the blind man's parents. They're like, we don't believe and we won't believe. And it says they didn't believe that the man was ever born blind until his parents came in and they asked the parents, is this your son and was he born blind? And here's what the parents say. Yes, he's our son. Yes, he was born blind. How he's healed? We don't know. We don't want to say. He's of age. Ask him. And they left as fast as they could. And then in parentheses in your Bible, it explains why. Because they had already gone out that if anybody claimed that Jesus was Messiah, they would be thrown out of the synagogue, which in their time was cancel culture way higher than cancel culture today. That was everything. That was economy. That was relationships. That was everything of your social life. To be thrown out of the synagogue was complete cancel culture. And mom and dad were so afraid of it that they couldn't even rejoice and declare Jesus did this over our son who was blind his whole life. And you'll have to stand and face your testimony with confidence if you're going to be a witness. Will you stand by your witness of Jesus if it costs you something? Listen, the Holy Spirit has been given and he will be poured out on your life if you ask him to give you this kind of boldness. And the Bible says several places in the book of Acts, boldness was required and boldness was given. They were threatened, they prayed, they got boldness. Acts chapter 4, Acts chapter 3. We need boldness. Stephen had boldness as he was standing before, again, the tribunal, the Supreme Court, before they stoned him. Boldness. Boldness to declare who Jesus is, and the Spirit will give boldness. Boldness to confront really what it is the demonic pressure of a culture that does not want the name of Jesus spoken. And every time pressure came, it was because of the name of Jesus. Now, do you know why? The Bible says that the name of Jesus, we're going to sing in a minute what a beautiful name it is, that the name of Jesus is the most powerful name in the entire universe, that Jesus has been given a name that is above every name, that the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. The name of Jesus, it's the most frightening name for the demonic world today. It's the most frightening name for an earthly culture today because it's the salvation for those who believe. That's the way through. That's the way forward is through Jesus Christ. And the enemy knows if people will stand up and be a witness for Jesus, then people might actually get saved. They might actually come to know the Lord. They might actually have the hope of heaven. They might actually experience the power of God in their life. So they want to silence the name. And I need it. You need it. We need the Holy Spirit to empower our witness so we can stand in the name of Jesus. Amen? Would you stand with me? What a beautiful name the name of Jesus is. I'm glad we've sung it a lot today. I'm glad we've been able to declare it even outdoors, open air. I will never feel like this is persecution. I just want you to know that right now. I'm so stoked that we can gather outdoors, keeping as many people safe as possible, but able to worship our Jesus. I'm grateful. Grateful for our country. I'm grateful for these opportunities. I'm grateful for the team that makes all this possible that we could do this. Amen. But we're doing it. We're doing it. But what a beautiful name it is. Do you realize as we sing the name of Jesus right now that principalities and powers over this part of Southern Orange County hate it, flee from it, run from it? And some of you today, as you sing the name of Jesus and how beautiful his name is, the power of God that you need in your life, the harassing evil spirits producing depression and fear over your life will have to flee because they can't hang out with Jesus. Infirmities, sicknesses and diseases pressed on you by a fallen world and by an enemy who wants to tear your life down, they can't stand in the presence of Jesus, who is our healer. Some of you, in singing the name of Jesus, will feel prompted about relationships that are unreconciled in your life, full of bitterness and anger in your side, that he wants to release you from all of it, the poison of it. He just wants to allow you the freedom of forgiveness, just like you were forgiven for everything. He wants to come and manifest himself in your soul as you say, the name of Jesus is more, the testimony is more, I'm willing to let this go. Jesus, would you bless these people who have hurt me? Would you bless this person? I want to be released. And I'm telling you, the enemy who has latched on to that bitterness won't have anywhere he can go. When you declare the name of Jesus, the freedom and the forgiveness of Jesus over those people in your life. I just want you to know this promise of power to witness is yes. It's already yes. If you want to receive that power to be his witness, all of these things are what he said, I'll help you with all of it. If you need help in those areas, maybe even right now, some content is being written. And Jesus, you want him to meet you in the midst of it, and he'll meet you. But you leave here witnesses of Jesus. And you might fumble 100 times in trying. You might, be brave one day and cowardly the next. It doesn't matter. Just keep walking. Just keep going. It's not about being perfect. Even our character, it's not about I'll never sin. If that was the case, none of us could be witnesses. But it's what we do with it. It's that we come back and go, you know what? No, that's not okay. And if I offended someone, I'm sorry. If I did something knucklehead, I apologize. This is not who I want to be. I'm just going to keep moving forward with Jesus because it's him and me. And I want that for my life. I want it for you. Go this week empowered. Go empowered in the name of Jesus to be witnesses because your workplace needs you. Your schools need you. Your friends need you to be a witness of Jesus. So whatever's going on, whatever he's got for you, go. Go, go, go. Each day, wake up. Holy Spirit, fill me. Come upon my life. I need you to be a witness today.